handy there. Without any more, we get to meet Tyler Chandler from Hocking Hills, Ohio. And so he's going to tell us about his ministry where he is going to Brazil. I'll meet you at the pulpit.
All right. I hope everybody can hear me. I apologize. I'm not used to a microphone like this. All right. Well, good evening. So good to be here tonight. Thank you for having us. My name is Tyler Chandler. My wife and children have already dispersed toward the children's class, but we have four beautiful children that the Lord has blessed us with. Our oldest is six. Her name is Vivian. And then it goes Cyrus, Harlow, and Elias. And this goes 6, 4, 3, and then my youngest will be 2 on Friday. And so we've got our hands full with them. Our youngest just had his head split open last Friday by the second one. He threw a log off the back of a side-by-side and hit him right in the head with it and split it open about an inch and inch and a half, I think, and so he's got two staples in his head right now that he gets taken out on his birthday. So, good thing is, I hope he don't remember most of it. But it's a blessing to be here tonight. I want to thank you for allowing us to come. Matthew 9:37 and 38, and it says, "Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." See, that second verse, it says the harvest is plenteous. It means there are so many people out there ready and receptive for the gospel. I mean, they're just ready, but there's not many people, not many laborers that are willing to do it. Because either one, they're afraid of what people may think about them. Two, they're afraid of conflict. Or three, they just don't know how to do it. And so, Lord willing, my wife and I, we plan to go harvest those that are ready to be saved and to serve the Lord with their life. We're planning to take the gospel to Brazil. It's a population of about 217 million people in the country, and well over half of that, so 65 to 67% of that is Roman Catholic. And so it's a religion that they believe that you do good things, you're a good person, you do good things, go to church, pray. They believe that's going to get you to heaven. But the truth is, what's going to get you to heaven is Jesus. Jesus is the only way to heaven. And so our plan, so we plan to be on the field by the summer of 2026. We are planning to... So the first 2 years will be language. And so me and my wife and my children had the privilege of going to Mexico for about 4 months. It's totally different, Spanish and Portuguese, but we got a decent handle on it, as I'll share with you here in a second. But the first 2 years is always the language portion. You go and you learn the language, and then you during the 2 years, you learn the language and you learn the culture. Because we don't want to go in somewhere and do something very American and offend somebody. Because that's not how you reach people with the gospel, is by offending them. You reach them by loving on them. You reach them by showing them you're willing to adapt to their culture and follow by the way that they do things. Obviously, if it's against the Bible, we don't follow that. But biblical ways, if we are living within the culture and we're doing things the way that they do it, we're going to reach more people that way. We had the privilege of serving in Mexico for about 4 months with a veteran missionary. He's been down there for about 12 years. He's got several churches started, a couple national pastors that he's trained up. But one of the things that I've noticed with Latin American culture is the fact that they're very Catholic. One, meaning that either their grandmother was Catholic, their mother was Catholic, or maybe they follow in Catholicism as well. And so that mindset is very known around there. And so you can have really good conversations with people. You can go around, you can have many different conversations with people, but always have the same outcome. I remember sitting in an Uber with the missionary that I was with, and he was just talking to the driver as we were driving down through there. And he's having a conversation with him. And by the end of it, he shared the gospel with him. But by the end of it, he was in tears because he realized the truth of the Bible. He realized what the truth actually was. And so, but on, during our time down there, I begged the Lord. I said, Lord, I know I'm not going to be fluent because it's only 4 months. But during those 4 months, we were in language school 5 days a week, 4 hours a day. So we did 20 hours a week of language school, not including going out and practicing it. So we were down there, we were learning, and we were practicing all in the whole 4 months we were there. And so while we were there, I begged the Lord. I said, Lord, just give me the opportunity. I know I'm not going to be very fluent. I know I'm not going to sound very good, but give me the opportunity to share the gospel. And so now I'm proud to say I can share the gospel in Spanish. Romans 3:10, for there is none righteous, no, not one. Como está escrito, no hay justo ni aun uno. Romanos 3:10. And so the Lord has allowed me to use that. A few weeks ago, we had a couple visit our home church. We just got started on deputation. So May 26th, we were still at our home church. I was serving as a song leader there. Cornerstone Baptist Church in Logan, Ohio, Hocking Hills. But there was this family that came and visited us. And he was American, but she was from Veracruz, Mexico. And so, I didn't realize that at the time when I first met her, but I knew the guy. I grew up with him. He joined the Marines, and we lost touch, and so he was in the Marines for about 10 years. Well, I walk up to him. I said, hey, man, how you doing? It's so good to see you. I'm so glad you're here. And I looked at his wife, and I said, hi there, how are you doing? And she just glared at me. I'm thinking, I'm sorry, did I offend you? I'm not trying to upset anybody. He goes, no, she just has a hard time speaking English. She's learning, but she's not very fluent in English. I said, oh, so she speaks Spanish? Yeah, she speaks Spanish, so it's kind of hard to communicate. I said, okay. So I looked straight at her. I said, buenos dias, ¿cómo está? And her face lit up. And she just looked at me, and she said, bien, bien. And she's pregnant. They actually just had their baby a couple weeks ago. But for weeks that they visited, all the way up till Mother's Day, he ended up getting saved on Mother's Day. And so, but she's sitting in service at like the second row back from the front. I'm leading the song service and I'm watching her. And I'm thinking, she's not understanding a word. We're singing songs, we're listening to the preaching, and she's just like glaring. And so at this point, my heart's hurting for her because she can't understand anything. And so, and we already had this conversation about discipleship, about going through the foundational truths of the Bible. And I talked to him and I talked to her. And we have access to a Spanish foundations. And so we have access to it in Spanish. And so during service, I stood behind the pulpit and I looked at her. I said, tenemos un libro de fundamentos en español. And she goes, oh, okay. But that's where the culture difference is. As an American, we have the mindset of, you come here, you learn my language. That's how you offend people. But you go and you say, I'm willing to learn your language. I'm willing to learn the way that you live so I can reach you. And that's our plan, is to go and learn the language and learn the culture and just love on people. But during that time that they were visiting, on May 26th, the Lord just was hammering at me. And I could just feel the Lord just hammering at my heart. And I'm thinking, she needs the gospel. And I said, Lord, just give me the opportunity to sit down with her and share the gospel. And so right after service on Sunday morning, I sat down with her and I looked at her and I said, can I ask you a question? She said, yeah. And I said, do you know where you're going to go if you was to die today? Yeah, I'm going to go to heaven. I said, okay, why do you believe that? She said, well, because I'm a good person. I've done good things. Well, can I show you something? So I opened up my Spanish Bible, my phone. I showed her Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, where it talks about it's not of ourselves, but it's through Christ. And then I said, can I show you how you can know you can go to heaven? Yeah. And so I begin in Romans 3:10, como está escrito, no hay justo ni aun uno. And then I proceed all the way through the Romans road, and I shared the gospel with her. By the end of it, she had these big old tears running down her face. And I said, would you like to accept Jesus as your Savior today? And all she could do was shake her head. She couldn't speak. She was just so emotional. And so I was able to lead her to the Lord. And so with that being said, that's our plan when we get to Brazil, is to learn the language so we can start churches, so we can see people come to know Christ, so we can show people the love of Christ that Christ has for us. Because there's people out there that believe Christ don't love us. There's people out there that think that God is just such an unruly God that he doesn't love us. But right here in the Bible, it clearly explains that he does love us. And so that's our plan, to take the gospel to Brazil. Go ahead, if you got your Bibles, we're going to be in Acts chapter 9. Now I'm going to get through this, share my message with you, and leave a little bit of time for some questions if y'all have any questions toward the end. Acts chapter 9, we're going to look at several verses down through here. But many times we think as a Christian that we have to be called to share the gospel. Many times as a Christian we think that we have to have this special calling on our life to share the gospel with someone. But in reality, the truth of the matter is we all have a command to follow. And that's in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. And it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. See, them verses right there purposely point out that we all have something to follow. We all have a command to follow, and that's to take the gospel to the world. Now, you may be thinking, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can go to a different country because I can't learn a language. I don't know if I can go over here and do this. How many of us got a neighbor? That's not a big cornfield, right? How many of us go to the grocery store? I would hope everybody does. Or maybe you got your own garden that you get your stuff out of. Great, you know. But every day we walk by people. Every day we run into people. And it's our job as Christians to share the gospel with others. It's our job to show people the love of Christ. That's our command, is to share the gospel, teaching them to observe all things. We are trying to be the light in the darkness. Now, Paul, that's exactly what Paul does. In Acts chapter 9, he gets saved and he surrenders his life and he follows what Christ tells us to do. Now understand this, Paul was Saul. So in Acts chapter 9, his name's Saul. They changed his name to Paul in Acts 13. But Acts chapter 9, Paul, or Saul, is a very ruthless man, a very wicked man. He's a Pharisee that when he believes in something, he's very bold in it. He's very bold in it. Now, a lot of times, that can be a bad thing. But in this case, Christ used it as a good thing. Christ used Saul's boldness for his advantage. Now, let's look at Acts chapter 9. We're going to look at several verses down through here. Verse number 1, it says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? Now, real quickly, if you got an ink pen, go ahead and underline that phrase. Who art thou, Lord? And he says, and the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now, back up a little bit. So, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Go ahead and underline that for me, would you? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, neither did he eat nor drink. Father in heaven, we love you and we thank you for this day. I pray that you would open our hearts, that we would receive your word, that we would learn something tonight. Help us and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, verse number 6, it says, "And he trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told what thou must do." So ask this, Lord, what will you have me to do with my life? Because a lot of times Christians today think that there's a call that has to be brought onto your life. There's a certain thing that has to happen for you to share the gospel. But in reality, it's not. Reality, it's a command we follow that Christ tells us to follow. And that's what Saul does. Saul gets saved, and then Saul surrenders his life. And he says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? As a Christian, we should wake up every day and say that, Lord, how can I serve you today? Lord, what will you have me to do for you today? Now, Saul was a wicked man, as I said. Saul was ready to persecute the Christians. Back in chapter 7, Stephen, a disciple, is preaching the gospel on the temple steps. And he's preaching the gospel, and these Pharisees are getting so upset with him. They're so upset, and they say, we got to stone this guy. He's speaking blasphemous. And so what happens? Acts chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "And Saul consenting unto his death." Now, Saul didn't order it, but he said, okay, that'd be fine. Saul consenting unto... Now, look at Acts chapter 9, verse 1. "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any this way, whether they were men or women, he bring them bound unto Jerusalem." He's threatening Christians. He's ready to persecute the Christians. He's ready to kill them, arrest them, and bring them back. And so he says, I want letters so I can deal with these guys. And so that's exactly what he did. Paul, or Saul in this case, was bold in what he believed in. We as Christians should be bold in what we believe in. We as Christians should be bold in sharing the gospel. Now in this case, Saul was bold in whatever he believed. At this time, Saul believed that persecuting the Christians was right. He believed that by persecuting the Christians, that was the right thing because they're speaking blasphemous. But instead, he meets Jesus on the road to Damascus. Look at this. Saul was specifically chosen by God. He was specifically chosen by Jesus himself to be used. If you go down here in verse number 4, or verse 3, it says, "There shined round about him a light from heaven." Okay, well, here's Jesus. Now look, it says, "And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" So right there is Jesus. Jesus says, "Saul, what did I do to you, man? Why are you coming after me?" Look at what Saul says. "And he said, Who art thou, Lord?" Now, why would a man like Saul call Jesus Lord? When he's telling them that they're speaking blasphemous, that they're not talking and doing the right things at all. They're going completely against the Bible. But here we see Saul calling Jesus Lord. Well, there's only one truth of the matter right there, that Saul got saved. See, many people think that by getting saved, you have to do something special. You have to do these special things. You have to say this special prayer. But in reality, it's recognizing who Jesus truly is and why you need him. Because when you accept Christ as your Savior, you're asking him to forgive you of your sins. Now look, Saul calls Jesus Lord. Jesus says, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He says, I'm Jesus. I'm the guy that you keep going after, my guys, all my guys and women that I'm told to share the gospel with people. That's me. What are you going to do? It's going to be hard to take me down because guess what? They've already tried and I've rose again. But at this point, Saul, look at the next verse. And he trembling and astonished. Now, how many of you have ever witnessed something in your life where you're just so stinking excited that your body just doesn't know how to handle it? For me, it's water slides. First time I ever went down a water slide, I was at Zumbeezy Bay in Columbus, Ohio, there at the zoo, and I'm walking up to the slide, and I'm going, whoa, but I'm shaking. My body's shaking, and all my buddies at this time, they're like, oh, you're scared. I'm not scared. I'm excited, but I just don't think my body just understands what to do, and I'm shaking. That's Saul. Saul is so amazed that he's trembling, and he's like, whoa. Saul, trembling and astonished, he says, Lord, what will thou have me to do? He says, Lord, what do you want me to do? You saved me. How can I serve you? That's the two most important things as a Christian. Is one, recognizing who the Lord truly is and accepting Him. But then also asking, Lord, how can you use me today? How can you use my life for your glory? Many think that when we get saved, that we're specifically called for something. We are. We're specifically told to share the gospel. We're specifically told to take the gospel to the world. Whether that's your neighbors, whether that's the people at the grocery store, or whether that's someone in Brazil or Mexico, wherever. But the Lord tells us we got to take the gospel to the world. We got to teach everybody. We got to show everybody. Now, at this point, Saul's journey became a different journey. Now, could you imagine if technology was what it is today back then? Saul be putting something on Twitter, right? I'm going to go get these Christians. But in reality, I bet you word still traveled pretty fast. Today, you put something on Facebook or whatever platform, and millions of people see it within seconds. Now, back in these times, it probably wasn't that fast, but I bet you the news just traveled fast. And so you got Christians that are scared. You got Christians that are like, oh boy, he's coming after us. We better hide. So the disciples at this point are hiding, and they're meeting, and they're following what God tells them to do, but they're still a little scared. But what they didn't realize is Jesus is ready to intervene. Jesus is ready to step in. And so now Saul has a different meaning to his journey. Jesus didn't tell him and say, all right, Saul, go home. We don't need you no more. Look what he says. Same verse, verse 6. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. He says, go on, get up, go on into the city like you were planning, and I'll tell you what to do next. Many times in our life, we think that God's going to dump the outcome, give us the end game, right in the beginning. But that's not actually how it happens. See, back in 2020, I surrendered my life to serve the Lord. And I said, well, I need to go to Bible college. And so I did. But I had no idea what the Lord wanted me to do. We were at our home church. Our original plan was to go down, get my Bible degree, learn how to plant churches, and come back to our home church and start planting churches in all these little burgs, these little towns around our home church that doesn't have a church. That's within 30 minutes of our church that people aren't willing to drive. So that was our original plan. But as we get down to Georgia and we start training with Vision Baptist Missions, we begin to see the need outside everywhere else. In Georgia, in Tennessee, in Mexico, in Brazil, in China, Taiwan. I mean, there's a need everywhere. And I'm thinking, why are we going back to Ohio? Let's stay in the South. But I'm thinking, there's a need everywhere. So little did I know, Jesus was putting little by little, opening the door, one right after another, until finally the Lord opened the door for us to be missionaries. Us to be missionaries to take the gospel to Brazil. Now, with Saul's different meaning in his journey, Now he's got, now there's other people that are scared at this point. They know who he is. They've heard of him, but they're scared of him. Look at this. Look at verse 10. And it says, "And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen a vision, in a vision, a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hands on him, and he might receive his sight." Now look at what Ananias says. "Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints in Jerusalem." I've heard of this guy, Lord. I heard of him. I know what he's about. He's going to kill me the second he gets his sight back. Now look at what God says. But the Lord said, verse 15, "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." Verse 16, "For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." Now, can I tell you something? Paul suffered so much for Christ's name. He was shipwrecked, snake bitten, almost stoned to death, beaten, put in prison. Because when Saul believed in something, he was bold. When Saul believed in something, he was bold in what he believed in. And that's exactly what he did. Now, Saul got his life changed completely around. And that's the power of Jesus. That's how Jesus truly works. When your life is down this path, and you get saved, and you change your life for Jesus, you're down this path now. I was there one day. I didn't get saved until I was 19 years old. Drug addict at 15. It wasn't a good time for me. But I found the Lord when I was 19 because of my wife. We went through marriage counseling and I got saved. And ever since then, I've served Him with my life. But if you look at how it says in verse 15, "For He is a chosen vessel." God specifically chosen Him because He was bold in what He believed in. Because God had a plan for it. Now, I worked in labor's union for many years. So if you're not familiar with the union, you call them up and you say, "I need work." And they find you work. And so there's pros and cons with it. I won't get into it. But we just got back from Mexico. And I had said, "I need to work to get prepared for us to start deputation." So I did. I called them up, and about March of 23, I called up the labor's hall and got everything worked out. And they said, "All right, we'll call you when we got something." I said, "Okay." So about a week later, they called me. "I got a job for you. It's up in Irwin, Ohio, which is an hour and 40 minutes from where I lived. Now, I drive a V8 pickup truck." She said, "I know it's a lot, but it's work." And I said, "You're right. I'll take it." So I took it, and I went. That next Monday, I started working. I go to work, and I'm up there, and I'm sitting in orientation. I'm looking around the room, and there's about 15, 20 guys that went in orientation with me, but there's one gentleman that stuck out like a sore thumb. And I'll tell you that because he's got a gray streak because of a skin condition. It starts right here, but right below his nose, and it goes down to about right here. And he was very vulgar, and he was very obnoxious, and I'm thinking, "Lord, do not put me with this guy. Please, 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 I'm begging you, do not." Well, guess what? Shouldn't have did that. Because after orientation, they put us, just me and him, working side by side. We was working on a solar field, out in the middle of a field. Nobody else around us, just me and him. We were opening cardboard boxes with the solar panels. But that was a blessing. Because we started talking. I shared my story with him, told him we just got back from Mexico, our plans and whatnot, and he told me his story. We're talking back and forth. And then he looks at me and he goes, "Can I ask you a question?" "Sure, I love questions." And he goes, "How'd you get in this whole church thing anyways?" And I went, in my head, I'm going, you don't know what you just asked me. And so, from then on, I shared the gospel with him by sharing my testimony. I shared with him exactly what my pastor shared with me 7 years ago, almost 7 years ago. July 25th will be 7 years that I've been saved. I shared the gospel with him. And we got on that subject and we were talking and I'm praying, Lord, just allow me to lead this guy to the Lord because he needs Jesus. And so we talked. The weekend goes by. We go home. We come back that Monday. I looked at him and I said, we've been talking all weekend long. I said, can I ask you something? Well, sure. I said, you go out here, get on Interstate 70, and then you get headed back toward the house. You get hit by a semi, and you die. I said, are you going to go to heaven or hell? I said, now, we just talked through that being a good person doesn't get you to heaven. Doing good things doesn't get you to heaven. The only thing that gets you to heaven is Jesus alone. I said, now, are you going to go to heaven if he was to die today? And he stopped for a second. He looked at me. He said, no. I said, does that not scare you? Yeah, it kind of does. I said, so what do you want to do about it? He said, well, I need Jesus. Okay, so what do you want to do? And he says, I want Jesus. Can you help me? I said, I can. I shared the gospel with him, and I led him to the Lord that day. And I said, now you got to pray for your wife. You got to pray for your 9-year-old daughter. You need to be praying for your family. So he began to pray for him. Now, he had to work through his stuff. He was an alcoholic, and he really enjoyed partying on the weekends. And so that kind of gives a bad reputation. Well, I invited him and his wife and their daughter over to the house. This is the first time I met the guy. I invited him over to the house. Little did I know, he lived 10 minutes from our church, our home church. So he's about 15 minutes from my house. And we met an hour and 40 minutes away from our house. So I invited him over, shared the gospel with his wife. They went home, come back that next weekend to have dinner with us. The same thing. I looked at her and I said, we've been talking. I said, where are you at with all this? She said, can I ask a question? I said, sure, I like questions. And she said, if I get saved right now, do I have to go to church on Sunday? To give you a little context, she has a lot of anxiety used to have a lot of anxiety when it comes to being around large groups of people. And I said, you know what? I am an ordained minister. I said, we can have church right here in my living room if you want to. We can sing hymns. You can listen to me preach at you. I said, we can do all the same thing right here in my living room. I said, don't let that stop you from getting saved tonight. I led her to the Lord. We started discipling them. We discipled them. Then it come a couple weeks later, it's time for them to get baptized. So I baptized them. That afternoon, we had them over at our house for lunch, Sunday afternoon, and their daughter comes to me, 9 years old, came to me and said, Mr. Tyler, I need Jesus. Well, let's sit down, let's talk about it. So we sat down, I shared the gospel with her, and I led her to the Lord. I was able to baptize her. That's our plan when we get to the field. We're already doing it now. There's four families right now, and our home church that I've agreed to disciple and work with, family on family. But that's the idea that God wants us to use to share the gospel with people. Be bold in what we believe. If we're not bold in what we believe in, then why are we doing it? We've got to follow Jesus' command. We've got to tell people about him and show them the truth, because we got people all around the world. All around the world. That are just getting saved and walking away from church because they aren't showed the true principles and the true foundations of the Bible. So tonight, I want to challenge you, and I'll turn it back over to your pastor. I want to challenge you tonight. Ask yourself, Lord, what will you have me to do? Am I sharing the gospel like you want me to do? But let me ask you this. Do you know Jesus as your Savior tonight? Because if you don't, I'm telling you what, you're missing out. Because it's one of the best things I ever did. Thank you so much, Pastor. Sure. Sure. Anybody got any questions they'd like to ask? Yes, sir.
Why Brazil? What?
Well, the biggest thing that pointed me toward Brazil was the population and the amount of gospel presence in Brazil. Now, you can look up Christian church, and there's churches that are there that aren't preaching the gospel. They're preaching good works. So there's 217 million people in Brazil, and 65 to 67% of that population is following a religion that's leading them straight to hell. Now, that's one reason. And then two, some about the Portuguese language just has caught my attention. Now, I like Spanish as well. When I was working on the solar field, I was able to practice my Spanish and use a lot of my Spanish. Me and my wife, we still kind of use it back and forth. I sound like a three-year-old when I talk, but I can do it. But some about that Portuguese language, I don't know, just kind of grabbed me, and I'm really interested in it. As I was telling Pastor Brian tonight, in Spanish, good afternoon. So in English, good afternoon. Spanish is buenas tardes. Now, in Portuguese, it's boa tarde. That second word is spelled the same way, just pronounced differently. And so it's very similar in words, and actually most Portuguese-speaking people can understand a Spanish person. But going the other way is kind of hard to, just because of the pronunciation and whatnot. And so those are just a couple little reasons on why we've chosen Brazil. Is there another question? Yes, ma'am. So yes, we do homeschool our children. My wife is doing a fantastic job at that. She wants to pull her hair out, but right now she homeschools. But we're actually talking about putting them in public school when we get there. Because one, it'll help them to understand the language. A lot of times, if you're not the way you should be at home, then they're not going to learn. And so we've kind of incorporated a lot of Bible time and just spent time with our kids to help them to understand the rights and wrongs. Of, you know, I was public school and I didn't like it. I'm glad my wife was homeschooled. But so I've been in contact with a veteran missionary down in Sao Paulo, Brazil. We at Vision, Vision Baptist Missions, we do not have a missionary in Brazil. We will be the first from Vision to go to Brazil. Now, I do have a list of 53 people in the country that are missionaries, that are planting churches. So Sao Paulo is kind of down toward the bottom area there, the state of Sao Paulo. So right here in the southern part is where we're looking at doing language. But I'm looking at more northern, going to plant churches. So we'll come back for 6 months after our two-year term. After we learn our language, we'll come back for 6 months, and then we'll go back for 4 years. And that's when we start our ministry personally, of planting churches and leading people to the Lord. So we're looking at the more northern end of it. There's two cities that I'm praying about. We're, Lord willing, going to take a survey trip in January to go survey them cities and just kind of get a closer look and see if the Lord will pinpoint exactly where. But to be honest with you, at this point, it's kind of hard to narrow it down just because we're not there yet. And so once we get over there to learn the language, we'll take frequent trips to kind of see where the Lord will have us to be. Yes, ma'am. So when we went to Mexico, so we moved from Ohio to Georgia. And that was like the biggest reserve for her at that point, because she was so used to at being at home and being around mom and dad that that was kind of her biggest reserve. But once we moved to Georgia and she kind of got opened up to kind of being her own person and just, you know, us being us, we're able to kind of pray through things, work through things. I'm assuming she probably did. She didn't really bring a bunch of big things out at me. When it comes to big reserves, because she trusted that the Lord would lead us in the right place where He wanted us. We went to Mexico. I'm sure she did have a little bit of a reserve. She probably hated me for about a couple weeks because I made her walk. But we walked through so many areas in Mexico that was, to some people, that was sketchy. But to me, I'm just thinking, this is awesome. Like, this is great. But I think now, the way that she acts, the way she talks, I think she's really excited about our next adventure in Brazil. I'm not sure on the reserves. You're welcome to ask her after service. Is there anybody else got any other questions? Okay, thank you so much.